This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Dennis Gromelski. He's executive director of the Fusion Theater Company in Albuquerque. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Glad to be back.
Glad to have you. And we're here to talk about an incredible play called Disgraced by Ayad Akhtar. It's a Pulitzer Prize winning play, and it opens at the Cell Theater in Albuquerque this coming Thursday, the 10th, and runs through the 25th of September. And it will also be at the Lensic on Saturday, the 26th of this month. It's directed by Jacqueline Reed, who has directed other pieces as well for the Fusion Theater Company. And I'd like to welcome the two lead actors in the play, Celia Schaefer and John San Nicolas, who play Emily and Amir. Welcome.
Thank you.
Nice to be here.
So I read this play last night. I obviously haven't seen the production yet here in New Mexico because it hasn't opened yet. But I have to say, when I was reading it, I felt like I was beholding literary history. It felt like a moment in the history of playwriting when certain ideas and conflicts about, I mean, the play is about a white, black, Jewish, and Muslim at a dinner party talking to each other, and it felt like the conflicts and kind of sets of identities and kind of inner feelings about those identities come out in a way that I've really never seen portrayed before in a literary way. Sometimes you hear arguments, but it's like these arguments are brought home inside of like a context of two marriages.
Yeah. The context of the play, of the playwright actually, is that this piece was first produced in 2012. In Chicago, where it won a Joseph Jefferson Award for Best Play, and then it moved to New York to Lincoln Center and won the Obie Award. It also won the Pulitzer Prize, and then was nominated just this year after a good Broadway run. It was nominated for a Tony Award Best Play this just recently in 2015. One of the amazing things about this play is that the playwright is an actor. He's a novelist. He's had a novel published that was translated into 20 different languages. And this was his first play.
Oh, my goodness.
He did let this play stew in reading other articles about him, stew with him for several years. He grew up Muslim in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And so he's got that perspective of growing up a Muslim in the United States. And he has since seen incredible interest in his work, in that three of his plays were actually produced in New York last year, which is, you know, something only the greatest of the greats have ever had. So obviously his issues have really, and themes have really struck a chord with the nation. I will just mention before I pass that question along, I'll mention that this is the first production off of the Broadway stage. Once again, we were able to bring this piece to New Mexican audiences before the other runs all over the country at other major regional theaters. And I have never also seen, I saw the list of where this is being produced. I've never seen a piece that is being produced so many times across the country. So it's obviously resonated with everyone else as well.
Now, you came from Portland, John, and you came from New York, Celia, do this play here in New Mexico. Had you seen it or heard of it? What was your first reaction when you came across it?
I had heard of it because I was doing another play by Ayad Akhtar called The Invisible Hand at a company that I work for in Portland called Artist Repertory Theater, which has some similar themes. And I saw that the Broadway version had a couple of famous actors that I had known in it. Asif Manvi, who's from The Daily Show, and Gretchen Mol, who actually went to my acting school. She went to the American Musical and Dramatic Academy in New York. She's one of our more famous recent graduates. So I was familiar with the playwright, but I hadn't read the play until I was asked to audition for this. There's a director in Portland by the name of Elizabeth Huffman, who's a friend of mine, who has worked with Fusion in the past, And so she was aware of the production, and they knew that she was looking. They were looking for an actor for this role and thought of me. So I contacted them, and Dennis contacted me back, and I put myself on videotape for auditioning. And Jackie, the director, gave me some notes and had me do it again. And the rest is history, but I'm glad to be here. It's been really, really nice.
I came to it very innocently. Dennis sent me the script, and I think I had heard about it in New York. I luckily hadn't read any reviews. I hadn't read any press about it, so my first encounter was the script, just as you had last night.
Yeah.
And I was blown away. There is so much gorgeous writing in this that is about ideologies, about the way those ideologies move relationships, move people's ability to move forward in life. They inspire us, they limit us. The interaction of family history and ideology, all of this stuff, it blew open my mind. I'm so excited to be working on it.
It's really interesting because it brings up so many kind of fascinating and I think universal themes, and one of those themes is when you reject your background, can you really do that? I mean, Amir has a great disdain for Islam for very good reasons, very reasonable and well-argued reasons, and yet there it is deep in his soul. And I think we all have that, whether it be about our religion or our cultural background or our national identity or whatever it may be. You cannot extract pieces of your soul and make them go away.
I mean, well, your formative years, right? Your childhood. It's difficult as parents and the larger family that helps, the village that helps raise a child to, you've got to keep children safe and educate them, but you've only got what you know, and the world is complicated, and to teach kids the complicated truth is impossible sometimes because things don't always make sense. So whatever we teach them when they're young sticks with them and sticks with us, and no matter how much we fight against it, it's always going to be there. We're always going to have to. It's like when you're an alcoholic. You're always an alcoholic, even if you haven't touched liquor for years. It's something that you'll always have to fight against.
And if you're raised to think another group of people is bad, even if you don't think that's right, that kind of deep instinctive reaction is something that you have to contend with and manage.
Yeah. My family is all San Diego Chargers fans because we grew up in San Diego. And so growing up...
You have a really benign example.
Exactly. So growing up, I was a Charger fan just because that's all I ever knew. And we watched all the games and we're diehards and fanatics about it. And we hate the Los Angeles Raiders. And then the Oakland Raiders when they moved back to Oakland as I grew older. And that's something that now, like I watch football and I'm like, I can separate myself a little bit. I'm like... All Raider fans aren't really criminals, but I still have that initial thought whenever I see someone in a Raider jacket. Or
right, and that is a great example, and there are so many that become really scary and harmful when it comes to discrimination and jobs and housing and all the things that we pass laws to deal with, but you can't pass laws. You can change people's behavior, but you can't change how they instinctively react. And I mean, that's what's so fascinating about this play. And meanwhile, there's a lot of really interesting questions about art in it too, because the character that Amir is married to, Emily, played by Celia, is an artist who's fallen in love with Islamic art and very deeply responding to it in her own work, letting it influence her. And it brings up a lot of judgments, both positive and negative, that people have when that happens. That question of what's considered proper to explore when you're a dominant culture artist.
Yeah, it's interesting when you have privilege, and Emily, Celia, is white and blonde, to start using the ideas of another culture can be seen as appropriation, and might be appropriation, and there might be some naivete about the way that you encounter the other culture. I think as Emily is coming to Islamic art and then through that to the rest of Islamic culture, she sees all of the beauty of it. She sees the peace. She sees the love. She sees the cooperation, the community. And she chooses to kind of elide and eliminate some of the darker cultural influences that her husband is very aware of, that he encountered through his family. So she just shakes that off because she's so in love with the deep history of it. I mean, I think you can find in any text, any religion, the beauty of it, or find the historical violence of it. And how you decide to encounter that culture makes a big difference in what you believe about it.
Yeah, how immersive are you going to get, or are you the anthropologist studying the tribe?
Yeah, yes, right.
Well, and in art, I mean, if you are, let's say you were from Egypt and you fall in love with abstract expressionism and start using that as your medium, nobody's really going to say you're appropriating abstract expressionism, but if it goes the other way, because of things that really have not that much to do with you, like who's got more guns and what the history of colonialism was, that's not considered okay. And I think that's a really interesting and important question to have that's brought up in this play.
Yeah.
A similar thing has happened with rap music in America. It was exclusively black, but, you know, it's an art form. Writing rap to beats is something that anyone can do. But it came so deeply from that culture that when you remove that culture from the music, it sort of becomes something else.
Yeah, but does that mean white dudes and dudettes should not be rapping?
I mean, that's debatable, but they're gonna.
Yeah, exactly.
And people can be deeply inspired by the culture. And so then I think that's legitimate for an artist to explore something that's outside their primary culture, even if you're an artist with a background of privilege.
Yeah, and if you are deeply inspired by something and don't explore it, you're doing yourself and art a disservice.
And the culture. Yeah. I mean, I think that if we let ourselves all learn from each other, we grow.
Yeah, exactly. And what I love is that the playwright didn't say, let's have a debate. He's like, let's write a play. And in the play, basically, our job as viewers is to go home and or go to a restaurant afterwards and talk about these things.
Yeah, and in a taut 90 minutes, it is really stunning the distance that this play travels, both for each character. It's mm-hmm. not just one story being told. It's a conglomeration of each of the people in the character in the play's story is being told,
right.
Coming to a full arc, and it's just, it's amazing what the audience member and their own preconceptions about these various topics will bring to this play as well. I can't wait to talk to people after they see the show, because I, you know, as with all the shows that we do, we never see them first. It's always just based upon the script, and so that was my first coming to the piece as well, and I just can't wait to see it.
Yeah, to actually see the play and then talk to people about it. And I want to talk about the other two characters, but there's another theme in art that relates to what we were just talking about, which I think is also important to explore, which is that there are questions raised about irony and sincerity.
I love this.
Which
yeah.
I love too, because the irony, I mean, it's sort of like popular, I guess, and has been for a long time, but, or maybe it's kind of on a decline right now, but it can be a kind of armor, whereas sincerity opens you up to criticism and yet gives you a chance to think about ideas like sacredness,
yes,
which are excluded by an ironic stance toward the world.
Mm-hmm. It's been wonderful to step inside Emily's skin. I live in New York, and I know that irony, and I know that the community that keeps itself safe by that pose of irony and distance from anything that is inspirational. And it's hard to live with when you're a person who is attracted to open-heartedness, people offering themselves fully to their work. And so it's so great to see a playwright support that kind of art. to let Emily be someone who's deeply inspired and to have an art dealer respond to that in her work.
Right, which is one of the other characters.
Yes.
The art dealer, and the art dealer, even before the play starts, has gone through a shift where first you see from what he says that he wasn't really like, you know, who the heck are you responding to Islamic art, and then like, oh, okay, I get it. Meanwhile, he is a Jewish guy who's married to a black woman, and Amir, the lead character, is a corporate attorney, and the art dealer's African-American wife is a corporate attorney, and they work together, which leads to its whole own drama, which we're not even going to talk about, which is also part of this four-way conversation and these four realities coming together and clashing, not to mention the sexual dynamics, which we're also not going to get into, because otherwise we would give away the whole play. But these perspectives, which then come around to, I mean, what do you do when you have a Muslim who's completely renounced Islam and all of that, encountering a secular Jew, and yet their deep backgrounds come to the surface?
Yeah, that conflict comes up despite both of our best efforts to squash it. And Isaac says similar things about, he eats pork now all the time, so it's indicated that he's sort of not really, you know, strictly Jewish, and he's critical of Israel, and yet still there we are at conflict with each other.
If everybody were polite and hid their feelings, there would be no plays. And what I think is so interesting about this dinner party is these characters' willingness to be remarkably honest in a very articulate way about things that you usually, and maybe alcohol lubricates the conversation, which it does in this play, but to be genuinely honest and revealing about things which you would usually hide, thinking that you're in a situation of safety when you're not.
Yeah. Again, I don't want to say too much.
I know.
Yeah, so it's a little, how do we...
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, go see the play.
It is about that openness, though. It is about that headlong confrontation with who you are, who you think you are, who you think you were.
And as a viewer and as a reader, you might think twice about what you actually say to your closest friends. We're talking about the play Disgraced by Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright and author Ayed Akhtar, and it's being performed by the Fusion Theater Company. It opens this Thursday at the Cell Theater in Albuquerque and then has only one night in Santa Fe, Saturday the 26th of September at the Lensic. If you want more information and to find out about tickets, fusionnm.org. Dennis Kremelsky is executive director of Fusion. Celia Schaefer and John San Nicolas are the two lead actors in this play. I want to thank you all so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much.
Thank
it was
you.
A pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to Studio X for their technical support and web design.